A young man was walking through the supermarket, picking up a few things, when he noticed an old lady following him around. Thinking nothing of it, he ignored her and continued doing his shopping. Finally, he went to the checkout line, but she got in front of him. "Pardon me," she says. "I'm sorry if my staring at you has made me feel uncomfortable. It's just that you look just like my son, who recently died." "I am very sorry," replied the young man. "Is there anything I can do for you?" "Yes," she says. "As I'm leaving, can you say goodbye, Mother? It would make me feel so much better." "Sure," answered the young man. As the old woman was leaving, he called out, "Goodbye, Mother." As he stepped up to the checkout counter, he saw that his total was $127.50. "How can that be?" he asked. "I only purchased a few things." The clerk said, "Your mother said that you would pay for her." Today we have a story of a mother and a son. And it's a story of when Jesus raised this young man from the dead. It's one of the short Gospels that we have, and yet there's so much beautiful detail in this account. If you have your missal handy, take a look at St. Luke chapter 7. And it says that this occurred in a town called Nain. Nain was a town with a wall around it. Many of the cities had surrounded by walls with one main gate. And Nain was only a few miles south of Nazareth, about a day's journey from Capernaum. And it says the disciples were with the Lord. And it says a large crowd followed the Lord as well. Wherever the Lord went, he always had large crowds, maybe expecting miracles or to be fed during like the multiplication of the loaves and fish. So the Lord had a large crowd, and they were getting near the city gate. And as they get near the city gate of Nain, out comes another large crowd from inside the city gate. And the two large crowds met. Well, this crowd coming from the city, going outside, was carrying a stretcher, a coffin, and the mother was a widow. And of course, this would have been very sad, because not only had she lost her husband, but now she lost her only son. So she would be basically destitute. She'd be penniless, perhaps being reduced to begging. In those days, there were no such thing as like social agencies that would help people in this particular situation. So it was a very sad event. And again, there were hundreds of people in the procession. They would not bury people inside the city. They would take them out to the cemeteries and the burial grounds outside the city. And there would be a lot of weeping and mourning and crying. And the two groups met at the city gate. And the Lord, it says, notices her. I'm sure she was dressed as a widow. And it says, he had compassion upon her. He had pity for her. And of course, Luke's gospel is called the Gospel of Mercy because there's so many evidence and support of the Lord doing so many compassionate and merciful things as recorded in St. Luke's gospel. Plus, this is a very appropriate reading because it is the year of mercy, as Pope Francis has declared. So the Lord sees this widow. It says, his heart was moved with pity. The Lord has a sacred heart. We just celebrated the feast day of the Sacred Heart a few days ago on Friday. The Lord's heart is filled with love, compassion, and mercy. And when he saw this woman, who was a widow and her only son was dead, many of the fathers of the church and the saints said that he probably thought about his own mother. He probably thought about the Blessed Mother, because she too was a widow. Saint Joseph would have died a number of years before, and she only had one son. And he, of course, was on his way to his death, ultimately, on the cross. So he probably thought about his mother. And so Nobody asked him to do this, but he goes forward and he stops the funeral procession. And here we see, of course, the humanity of Christ. I like this gospel so much because we see first his humanity and then his divinity. His humanity, his heart is breaking at the sight of this mother, this widow. And so he stops the funeral procession. They, of course, are shocked, and so they let him, place his hands upon the coffin, which would have made him ceremonially unclean, but the Lord didn't care about those things. He was there to comfort and to raise this young man from the dead. And notice we now see his divinity. Because he speaks just a few words, and the dead man comes back to life. He says, "Young man, I tell you, arise." And immediately it says, this dead corpse, his soul came back into his body. He sat up, unwrapped some of the strips of cloth, whatever he was being wrapped in, and he began to speak. And it says, Jesus gave him to his mother. One of the most touching phrases in all of the scriptures. Jesus gave him to his mother. And we have to think, a few later on when Jesus was on the cross, dying on the cross, he saw his own mother, a widow, standing at the foot of the cross. What did Jesus do? He picked an apostle, John, whom this church is named after. And he said those words that are written here in Latin, "Woman, behold your son. Disciple, behold your mother." He gave Mary to John and John to Mary. So the Lord provided for his mother. He knew that he was going to die and rise from the dead and then ascend to heaven, but he wanted somebody to take care of his blessed mother. And so we see the divinity of Christ, who raises him from the dead. He had raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. He would raise Lazarus from the dead. This is one of the only other times the Lord ever raises someone from the dead. And it says the whole crowd was filled with fear and amazement, and began to praise God and said, "God has visited his people." I think what we can learn from this gospel is that God is not a distant God. God knows our sufferings. He's well aware of our sufferings. He's well aware of those who have experienced the loss of a loved one, the loss of a spouse, the loss of a child, a grandchild, a parent. So the Lord is not far from us. He's truly God and truly man. And his heart does break when he sees people suffering. And yet we know that death is not the end of life. Yes, we will all die, but it's only our bodies that die and go back to the dust from which it came. Our soul is immortal. Our soul will live forever, God willing, with Almighty God forever in the heavenly kingdom. One last thought. If you read what St. Augustine wrote about this passage, he compares it to the joy of that mother receiving back her dead son who come back to life because of the Lord's miraculous power, with the joy of Holy Mother Church every time somebody goes to confession. We often call the church Holy Mother Church. And when we go to confession, a person who is dead in mortal sin, maybe they're walking dead, they're part of the walking dead, they're not alive, they have mortal sin on their soul. But when they go to confession, with God's grace, they repent of their sins, they humbly confess their sins, they receive absolution, the mortal sin is removed, and they receive sanctifying grace within their soul. So they're back alive. They were dead, and now they are alive. And that's one of the great joys and privileges of being a priest, that every Monday morning, every Monday afternoon, every Wednesday night, and every Saturday, there are priests in these confessionals that raise people from the dead. And it's not us. It is Jesus Christ in us through our ordination that when we say those words of absolution, the dead come back to life. A person can walk into the confessional in mortal sin and they can walk out alive again.